Hello, Leslie?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, it's amazing. I'm all the way in Spain, and here we are chatting like you're next door.
Yes. I had the funniest run-in about you recently. I don't know if they told you or not, but I was walking my dog in the park, my two dogs in the park. And I hear this woman talking on the phone, and she stopped. And I said, I know that accent. You're from Tennessee. She just about fainted. And then she was talking to me, and she said, oh, I'm here with my walking my brother's dog. He's in Spain out there filming a movie. And I said, you're Leslie Jordan's sister.
Oh, my God. So you live in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I live in L.A., yeah.
Because your phone says New York. Oh, my gosh, yes, she's taking care of Beauregard, my 13-year-old lab.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, I
know. She's a twin. She's an identical twin. I mean, identical, even at 60. And people used to think we were triplets because Mother dressed us a lot.
Of course.
Little Buster Brown outfit.
Oh, I think I had some Buster Brown shoes at least.
Yeah.
So I was raised.
This is wonderful.
Yes.
Where were you raised?
I was born in Gallatin, but most of the time in Nashville. But then I left in 1979, and mostly in New York. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, until 2 years ago. Yeah. We've met before. We met in Times Square. You did a show. We met after that.
I remember that. I can't remember you, but
no,
if I saw you, I'd remember, because I don't ever forget a face. I just can't put it all together.
Neither can I. Don't worry. So I don't want to keep you too busy, so I let you go to dinner. I know it's too early for dinner in Spain.
Oh, my God, it's amazing. They don't even start. The restaurants don't even open till 8.
I know. But, they close at 8 in L.A.
I ate supper at 6 o'clock.
Supper.
I don't tell you that. Supper. Well, this will be fun. Just fire them to me, and I've thought of some good answers.
All right. So how long have you been out, and who was the hardest person to tell?
I fell out of the womb and landed in my mother's high heel.
That's a beautiful answer.
And the hardest person was her. When I was about 12, the weirdest thing, I just told her that something was up. I didn't even really know what to call it or whatever, but the hardest person was my mother when I was 12.
Oh.
My dad had been killed in a plane crash the year before, and I just knew, I don't know, I knew something was up.
who's your LGBT hero?
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin. That's a good short answer. What's Los Angeles?
And here's why, real fast.
Okay.
When the first time that California got gay marriage, I turned on the television, and there was Lily at the L.A. Zoo trying to save Billy the elephant. She just has her priorities, you know. I thought for sure she'd be down, you know, rallying with the troops. No, ma'am. She was over trying to save Billy the elephant.
I just love her. She's a total independent soul.
She is, and she's going to do it her way, and that's that. She had things to do.
She's a Tennessee
anyway.
Gal. She's sort of a Tennessee gal in a way.
Yes. Paducah, Kentucky. Her family. I've worked with Lily a couple of times. Her family was Paducah, Kentucky, but they went to Detroit, you know, as so many Southerners did to work in the auto industry or whatever. But yeah, but she's, her family's Paducah, Kentucky.
And her girlfriend is from Morris,
Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, her, yeah. That's what they asked her when she was saving Billy the elephant. Are you and Jane going to get married? She said, well, it'd have to be a good day for Jane. Jane didn't leave the house, but I love that ass. Well, it'd have to be a real good day for Jane. But it,
yeah, otherwise she hates me. So what is Los Angeles's best night spot, past or present?
I have not been out in 20 years because of my sobriety. I haven't been out since my unfortunate incarceration 20 years ago. I'm 20 years. My nudge from the judge who told me to put the, he said, Mr. Jordan, you need to put the plug in the jug. But anyway, I haven't been out in 20 years, but when I used to, years ago, my favorite place was called the Rose Tattoo.
Rose Tattoo.
I don't know what it is now, but it was a wonderful, wonderful sort of gay cabaret right under what is used to go up, you know how they line up now to go up those big long steps to that bar? They have something going on there on Sundays. That bar, anyway, that was the Rose Tattoo right under it. That bar across from the Abbey where, there's the, where you have to go up those big long, long steps. There's Bossa Nova, then there's a parking lot, and then was the Rose.
Yeah.
That was the Rose Tattoo. Not up the steps, down up underneath there was the Rose Tattoo back in the day.
I think John Duran, that was his favorite place too, but probably a little bit later, maybe a little earlier.
Yeah.
Disco Queens.
She's old as me. No, she's
I'm old as you. I'm 57 and feeling it suddenly. Everybody seems to be 60 today. I don't know. I guess you don't age past 60. That's the new gay thing.
That's what I'm. I'm 63, but I always say plus tax and deposit. I'm 60 plus tax and deposit. I'm 60 with a little shipping and handling.
And nowhere.
A lot of handling.
So, describe. Speaking of handling, describe your dream wedding.
You're not going to believe this, but it's 100% true. I officiated a wedding in Puerto Vallarta that was in the most beautiful villa. We were greeted as we arrived by boys in bikinis with baby lions on leashes and monkeys. I'm not making this up, on leashes. An orchestra struck up a James Bond tune, and the two grooms arrived by sea on ski boats.
Oh my God!
And they had planned. They spent $1 million on this wedding, and all of a sudden they'd planned for everything but a rainstorm. And it began to rain right as we started officiating. And they had written their own vows, which never let two gay men write their own vows. They were 18 pages each. And so the rain started, and the one groom just burst into tears. Because, we didn't know what to do. We're just standing out there in this garden with the rain. The rain suddenly stopped, and a rainbow came out. A rainbow came out. That's a true story.
That's pretty amazing. That's a dream wedding.
That is a dream wedding. Thought it was ruined. Okay, what else?
What else? What non-LGBT issue are you most passionate about?
Well, it's kind of non-LGBT, but it's registration to vote for kids.
Oh, for kids.
Because...
Okay.
Well, a huge source of my shame is when I got sober at 42, I had never voted. Who had time? You know what I mean? We were in the bars. I had never voted. I was 42 years old. And now I thought, that's so important.
Were you apolitical before you were sober?
honey, I didn't know a Democrat from a Republican. I didn't know a donkey from a elephant. I didn't know anything. I couldn't have told you who the President of the United States was, probably.
Oh.
I was so shallow. Well, no, things I knew, my friend used to tell me, Leslie, you're magazine smart, because I can talk about anything under the sun on a real superficial level, because all I do is read magazines.
Right.
I sit on the set and read magazines.
But not anymore.
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. What historical outcome would you change?
Well, the presidential election of this year, of last year.
Yeah.
How many years has it been? It feels like 20.
500 years. I feel like we're back in Nixon era with this. What's been the most memorable pop culture moment of your lifetime? It had to be your own Emmy, right?
Well, I didn't think about that. Yeah, I would have to be winning that Emmy, but there was another one. I was asked to throw the pitch out for the Washington Nationals and the Chicago Cubs, and it happened the weekend of the Orlando Pulse nightclub tragedy. And so I got to throw the pitch out in memory of 49 dead people. And I did really good. You know, they thought it was going to be a YouTube and the video in the making. I'm pretty athletic to be such a sissy. I hurled that ball. I had never held a baseball in my life. I'd done softball. I hurled it. Overhand. I threw it. They marveled. The catcher came out and goes, dude. I said, well, there you go.
Dude. That's a word I'm still trying to get used to out here in LA.
With girls calling other girls. That's what I don't quite get. They'll go, dude. To other girls.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Dude, girl, dude. On what do you insist?
Manners. Just please and thank you.
Please and thank you. Okay, what was your last Facebook or post or tweet on Twitter?
Announcing the pickup of my television series for Fox, which we just got picked up like a week or so ago for. I'm a millionaire. I'm going to be rich. The cool kids is Vicki Lawrence, myself, David Alan Greer, and Martin Mull. We have a series on Fox. They bought Last Man Standing because of the success of Roseanne. They bought it from ABC, who had canceled it because they thought it was too conservative or whatever. Anyway, because of that, my series, which is about four, it's basically the Golden Girls on crack, is going to be on Friday nights at 8, Last Man Standing at 8, and then our show at 8:30. I Facebooked about that. That really came out of nowhere. I mean, I have a series now, big one.
Foxwood. Wow, and you're the lead?
Well, there's four of us. It really is it's like the Golden Girls. Right. We're in a retirement community, and it's four of us, and we have absolutely no moral compass. And we don't think we belong in that retirement home, you know, that retirement community, because we're so young and vivacious, and we're always in trouble. It's really cute, really cute.
I can't wait to see and read more about it. We have
the cool kids. It's the guys that wrote It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie Day. My bosses it's called The Cool Kids.
The Cool Kids.
My bosses are those three guys from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They're gorgeous, all three of them. I walked in, I thought, get the fuck out of here. Y'all are my bosses. They really are. They're so handsome. You know what I'm talking about, those boys on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Not Danny. Not Danny DeVito. The other.
Oh, he's hot and cold. That's funny.
He's probably hung like a mule. You never know.
With hope.
Okay.
or an elephant if he's Republican on Fox. So, let's see. That was Facebook. If your life were a book, well, you've already done a book, what would it be? What would the title be?
Hustlers, Thieves, and Other Lovers.
First Base and Other Lovers?
Hustlers, Thieves, and Other Lovers.
Okay, cool.
I really tried to write that one time. Hustlers, now, Thieves, and Other Lovers.
Well, now that you're a millionaire, you're going to have a lot of time on your hands.
Oh, got to watch out. I'm going to change my phone number. They're already calling. Seriously. Coming out of the woodwork.
That's, well, you know, it's a gusher.
It is.
If science discovered a way to change sexual orientation, what would you do?
I wouldn't change a thing. Not one thing.
Okay. What do you believe in beyond the physical world?
I'm a very enthusiastic agnostic who would love nothing better than to be proven wrong.
I love that. No one's ever said that. Wow. That's beautiful. What's your advice for the LGBT movement leaders?
Just a pat on the back. You know, I don't.
Right.
Some days I sit. Yeah, just a pat on the back.
I love
pat
that.
On the back.
A lot of people like go into like, you know, like don't talk down or whatever.
Don't do this, don't do that. No, there's, gosh, look what, I mean, my generation, I think our generation has seen changes that we could never, ever, ever have thought happen.
I thought I would be dead by now.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And not even within the gay community, the hippie. I was a hippie, so hippies, we didn't want to even live past 30. We didn't trust anybody past 30.
Oh, me
and
too.
Here we are, good Lord, 30 twice over.
No, we hit 30 plus. Yes, and well, 30 plus. So let's see, movement leaders, what would you walk across hot coals for?
You know, there's just, it's so amazing that in my life I have pretty much achieved, you know. I don't know that there's anything left. What would I walk across hot coals for? Peace. Peace. Just
peace.
World peace. Just
world
no more
peace.
Bombs.
Cool. What LGBT stereotype annoys you the most?
I think because of my journey, I would say that we're all really squishy, that we're all real effeminate, and that's wrong, you know, that there's something, because that's going to lead to one of the questions about telling my 18-year-old self that there's no shame in being somewhat effeminate, you know. When I got to Hollywood, I had a mustache and I had cowboy boots. I wore a great big mustache.
I think I met you at the carousel about that time in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Probably. And back then we had to butch it up. If you went into a gay bar and you wanted to get laid, you had to butch it up because nobody wanted to be a sissy. Here we were all trying to be butch. My friend and I would sit and we'd see that what always gave anybody away, you'd see the butchest man in the world. And back then you smoked, you know, in the bars. And they'd light a cigarette. We'd look at each other and go, oh, girl, look at the way they smoke. Smoke space. But, yeah, that's – what was the first question? That we're all big sissies, I guess.
Oh, yes. The LGBT stereotype. What annoys you most? Okay. This next one is – what's your favorite LGBT movie?
Brokeback Mountain.
Okay.
I swear I'd quit you if I could. Oh, I love that movie. I could quote it.
I can't quit you. I can't quit you.
I can't quit you.
I love that. And then they say, call me by your name. That's also kind of sexy. What's the most overrated social custom in general?
My mother always makes me and gets upset with me that if I don't stand when a woman approaches the table. Well, I get approached. You know what I mean? We go out to dinner, and because of Will and Grace and things like that, people, I'd be standing like a puppet. I'd be standing, couldn't sit down. She will kick me under the table. It's like, when a woman approaches the table, you stand up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. On a gay cruise.
And all the drag queens coming to you.
We don't even know. What, do I go halfway up? What do I do here?
What trophy or prize do you covet the most?
Another Emmy.
Another, well, now you've got a chance here.
I know.
Wow, congratulations. I'll be lighting candles for that.
Definitely.
Well, now that we're neighbors, so when you get to LA, I'd love to.
Please. You have my number now. I get back June the 19th.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
June 19th, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. In two weeks. You know, I'm shooting another TV series here in Spain for Sky TV. We're actually in our second season. It's called Living the Dream. And
Sky is also Fox, isn't it?
Yes. Fox is trying to buy Sky, so who knows what's going to happen. But this series is about an American family that comes to the U.S. and I sell them a trailer park. They're trying to pursue the American dream. We bought a caravan park. They think it's going to be beautiful.
We were looking for tiny homes in Palm Springs recently. And so we saw this ad for this beautiful park of tiny homes. We went there. It was just an idea. It was really just a big trailer park. It's so horrifying.
We have built a trailer park in Sotogrande, Spain, which is right below Malaga and Marbella. It's supposed to be Florida. So we shot in Florida last year. And this year they couldn't afford to come back. So they thought, since I'm one of the few American castmates, just bring me over here. And we have built a Florida trailer park. You should see it. They shipped the trailers that we used last year in Florida because you can't find those over here. They bought a big, cargo, container and shipped a trailer park to Spain.
Oh, my God. They should keep that. That would become a tourist destination or an Airbnb.
You should see. There are all those old Airstreams, those old silver Airstreams.
Wow.
It's really something to see.
Pink flamingos and everything?
Mm-hmm, everything. But the funny thing is we have extras, atmosphere, that don't speak one word of English, and they're all, because we're using Spanish tax cuts, Spain tax cuts, we have to use locals. And so the trailer park all of a sudden turned Hispanic. We don't have one white person.
And
it's hilarious.
And no self-respecting Latino person would be in a trailer.
No. And the costumers got them in tube tops and short shorts.
That's hysterical. there are two more questions. So what do you wish you'd known at 18?
That there's no shame in being somewhat effeminate.
Right.
That's been my whole internal homophobia. That's been my whole struggle as an adult.
Well, yeah, I think it's probably the hardest thing for our generation to have gotten over.
Well, because you call somebody our age and their answering machine or whatever would go like this.
Hey, it's Robert.
You're like, who the fuck is that? Girl, is that you?
Oh my God. You know, you just recreated a movie, one of my favorite movies. Remember, Norman, is that you? We could be Girl, is that you?
Girl, is that you?
Hello, it's Robert. Leave a message after the beep.
What? Who do you think you're fooling? Like someone's going to blow her cover.
Oh, my God. Okay, so
the last one?
Why Los Angeles? Why do you choose to live here?
I made a decision. I got a degree from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Oh, Lord.
And they said to me, Mr. Jordan, please, before you leave, learn to pronounce what your degree is in. I said theater. They said it's theater. I got a degree in theater. And I went, and I decided, I remember thinking, New York or L.A., if I'm going to start, I'm going to start with a tan. So that was my L.A.
Oh, that's cute. Okay, great. That's it. We're done.
Okay, honey. Well, listen, I'm serious. Give me a call or text me when I get back the 19th, and I'll put a face to the night.
Watch out
for my little sister. Her name is Cricket.
I know. We loved each other by the end of our conversation. So you'll tell.
Oh, she is such a doll. She was named Cricket. She's a twin, a mother named one Jana, J-A-N-A, and the other one Janet. And we couldn't tell them apart. Okay, so I got to run. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.